And welcome back one more time, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 4 of Game Face, right here on the Trending Topics Network, the gamer podcast designed for gamers by gamers that promises to give you the other side of the gaming console. As always, I am your host, Piper the DJ, right here on the horn. We're running a little bit lean tonight as far as panelists goes, but here's an individual on the other end of this line. I've been trying to get him on, and now he has graced me with his presence. By far, the youngest individual that I have met, not only when it comes to technology, but also to gaming. Please welcome back to the Trending Topics Network, my neighbor to the north, a regular on Trending Mobile Technology, gracing me with his presence right here on Game Face, my friend, Sam. Welcome back, sir. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem, sir. I'm very glad that you're able to make it in today. Glad that we're able to get schedules coordinated. And, you know, if we get an opportunity to get a bigger panel together, hopefully we can get you back on again. But thankfully, health and scheduling and various other things of that nature have worked in our favor. Now, Sam, you are a little bit new to the network and a little bit new to the crowd of folks that typically I associate with on Game Face. So if you could, a little bit of background about you, sir. What classifies you as a gamer, per se?
Don't know if I could be classified as a gamer, I guess. I mean, well, I could be, but I don't actually play too many games anymore. I don't know what happened, but I kind of lost interest in them for a while. I'm getting back into them now, but I started getting into gaming when I was like 4. My cousin had a Sega Genesis. I played Pitfall on it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, I just kind of like started. Eventually, I owned the Sega Genesis. I think I still have it. And from there on out, I've just been playing from different systems, from different companies and stuff.
Now, the thing we need to understand, you said you're not really a gamer, but the here's where the unique perspective of this show comes into play. For the simple fact that for years, I said that I wasn't a gamer, and I was constantly showing up on Fat Ninja Game Talk Radio and just having fun with those guys. But see, here's the thing. According to Wikipedia, a gamer is, quote, somebody who plays games. And it generally specifies Xbox, PlayStation. But the thing is, a game, if you go to your regular standard department store and you walk down the toy aisle that has all the games, and you pick up any box off the shelf, Monopoly, Bingo, Boggle, any of the new Angry Birds that they have their cards, etc. You look at it, somewhere on that box it says game. Now, game directly implies playing something. So we're looking for anything that would distract anybody. Not only to include Xbox and PlayStation and PC, but also to include Android, iOS, Windows Mobile, board games, crossword puzzles, Sudoku, anything of that nature, okay? So anybody, the bottom line is, in this industry, anybody can be a gamer. If you say, I'm playing fill in the blank, all right? Me, I'm a little bit more unique. Yeah, sure, I play games on my Android device, but I also go and I play paintball. Now, if that were the only thing that I did, I would still be classified as gamer because, you know, yeah, sure, a lot of people call them ballers. But on the flip side of that, you know, this is a gamer podcast, and anything that you would quote-unquote play qualifies you to show up on this panel. And Sam, we've had a great pre-show. I kind of mad at myself for not hitting the record button sooner. But that's just the way that it worked out on this particular show. Article that you sent me came in from Wii U Daily. The headline citing, quote, Nintendo patent shows device with interchangeable controls. And we looked over this article and we talked about it a little bit. And what we have here is we have what looks like a 3DS with little places where you can slide out the D-pad and the directional and the buttons and all this into little modules and flip them around into different configurations. Sam, you brought this article to the table. I'll let you go ahead and take the floor on it.
So when I first saw it, I initially thought of a video that I saw a couple of years ago. The guy was actually starting a petition. He had some kind of disease that messed with the way his bones were placed in his hands or something. And not, I'm sorry for my lack of knowledge on that. That's very ignorant, but
okay.
He was trying to sign a petition to allow or to make game companies have to. And as far as I know, this hasn't been passed because it's not happening at all. Trying to make game companies allow for changeable key layouts in game, not actually physically changing stuff, but like the A button is usually jump in most games, change mm-hmm. jump to like X or whatever in the settings. And when I saw this, I thought, okay, it could be a new controller for the Wii U, it could be a new 3DS for, you know, if you're either a pro gamer that wants to have his own setup of like controls, or if you're someone with a certain disease that has to have it a certain way if he wants to play, could be just whatever if you just want to change if you're left-handed or something. And it's just a patent, so there's no confirmation of when this will be out, what it is exactly, if it's a new controller for the Wii U or if it's a new type of 3DS or what it is. So, but that's about as much as I got out of it.
Now, it says in this article, controller could even be designed in such a way that all modules are user-replaceable to meet a specific configuration. Where this comes most useful is adding a second analog stick for a game like Monster Hunter, or adding a button configuration skin to, like, fight controllers and fighting games. And this is, I mean, back in the day, when I was heavy into gaming, customizability was a big thing. And I'm talking like back in the days of the original PlayStation, where, you know, you could get different controllers for different games. Matter of fact, even back when Street Fighter 2 was all the rage, the Super Nintendo had a proprietary controller stick or Street Fighter. Now, with the Super Nintendo, you had your A, B, X, and Y, and then you had your right and left buttons, which was a total of six. Now, on the coin-op for Street Fighter 2, you had three punch and three kick, and then you had your eight-direction joystick. And when you translate that into a joystick module or unit, you know, you've got your A, B, X, Y, and then your right and left. And that's six buttons, but you have to configure it a certain way. And this is much similar to that in its own way that this can be configured. You know, like if you've got your D-pad goes six directions, you got your four button pads. The only problem I could see with this would be, I don't see any top buttons on this, on this particular diagram. It says in the article, the left D-pad module could be removed and replaced with another. This concept is an interesting one, not unlike the idea of phone blocks, aka Project Aura, which I've been drooling about for about 6 months. Where, you know, modules can be removed, replaced, etc. Instead of buying a whole new controller, you know, you can just move it around to make it something different. And, you know, handicapped, I think this would work in favor of left-handed people, I mean, I'm not left-handed, but I am ambidextrous in a lot of different things. Something else that this talks about, Game Machine, for example, is provided with a cross key, analog stick, operational push button, like two, accepting operation concerning the movement of an action of a character in a game, or operation concerning various games, such as operation of a selection menu. Furthermore, mobile phone and similar device, for example, provided with operational push button, of which a number, a letter, or something of that nature, with a directional key or analog stick, 4 or 8 direction. So with this in mind, Sam, with you know, when you got a mobile system, whether it be the PSP or Nintendo 3DS or Nintendo SP or Game Boy or any of those things, did you just adapt to the way that it was set up, or were you just like, man, I wish I could switch this around to be a different way? I mean, I can recognize how this would cater to like a handicapped individual or somebody who perhaps might be left-hand dominant. But in a situation, let's just isolate that from the equation for a minute, remove that from the equation for a minute. Would adaptation in a 1, 2, 3, 4 different configuration setting here, would that come into play to an extent? Or do you think that this would, that there just comes a point where the brain can't function that way and it just needs something that it can associate with better?
Not too sure. I know with the 3DS, I actually had a little bit of trouble getting used to. Most other mobile systems, I guess maybe it was just the size of the 3DS, but most other systems I got used to pretty quickly. I guess that's because I'm just used to like controllers and stuff. It's pretty similar. I think that like depending on the controls of the system, like you said, like the PSP or the 3DS, it would probably be harder for some people. Maybe like a short attention span or something, to just not want to have to deal with like only having one joystick, or depending on the system, or if you're on the PSP, having to have your hands kind of like clutched to the system to actually move around or do anything in the game.
Right. Yeah, I can understand how that would work. I mean, especially whether it be through learning disability or some type of handicap where your fingers might not be able to operate a particular way, or stay, maybe arthritis of some, you know, something of that nature as well. That could also, you know, but I mean, we look at the way, say over the past 10 years, how controllers have gotten quote unquote ergonomically correct. You know, keyboards for computers, mice, mouse pads, you name it. Just about anything in any type of office space is classified as ergonomically correct, all the way down to a joystick controller for, you know, Xbox and PlayStation. I mean, they sell the standard ones, but you can buy aftermarket controllers, you know, that are slanted or that you can slant, or, you know, I believe there's one that I saw a write-up on, this was a couple years back, where you could actually unscrew it and then take it apart and put it back together a different way to ease pressure on your wrists or something of that nature, you know. But the being able to move the buttons, you know, in some cases, I think would be beneficial. I mean, for anybody, you know, whether, you know, oh, my right hand's getting cramped up, so let's move it over to the other side. But at the same time, you're working the other side of your brain, too. I mean, that would be really hard for me. Yeah, that'd be like going up to, we'll just stick with the Street Fighter II analogy that I was on. You know, joystick was always on the left, buttons were always on the right. So if you switch it, You're saying I've got to start using my right hand for the joystick and my left hand for the buttons. You know, that would be really backward. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, it would have its place. And like you did mention, this is just the patent. So that means the concept they're putting into place. So anybody who comes out afterward with this, you know, citing that, hey, you know, we came up with this first, Nintendo can say, nope, we came up with it first, so screw you. But, you know, it is... So the three buttons at the bottom that we're looking at, 3G, 3H, and 3I, you had mentioned an idea for those three buttons in the pre-show. Go ahead and bring those back up to light, Sam. What were you thinking about for those?
Like I said, it could be a different 3DS or like a different type of 3DS. The bottom of the 3DS, from left to right, it's select, home, and start.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of, and I don't own a Wii U, so I don't know if that's present on the Wii U pad or the actual touchscreen controller. And that's why I was saying it could be a new 3DS that's kind of like the PSP, where it's only one screen and the one screen is also touchscreen or something like that. I don't know. Or it could be a new controller for the Wii U.
So you're alluding to the fact that this could very well associate with the Wii U as well as operate on its own then.
Possibly.
Throwing speculation into the wind is what I'm saying here. Yeah. We're playing on speculation right now.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Because as far as I know, they could be trying to compete with, and I mean, so far we haven't seen any competition between Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony, because Nintendo just doesn't seem interested in the console wars that are going on. But it could be a competition like, because with the PS Vita, it's not AirPlay, that's iOS. It's something you can control your PlayStation game or stream the PlayStation 4 game or PS3 game to the Vita.
Right.
So it could be something like that, except for, I don't know, it could be anything.
Plenty of ideas floating around there, absolutely. And this could definitely be something that Nintendo could take. Now, granted, they're out of the top three, which there only is three. They're in a solid third and a very far away third from, you know, even coming close to number two, Microsoft, PlayStation, respectively. But, I mean, this could be a way to make themselves appealing, I guess, to the gaming community again. I mean, you know, it's a neat thing to me. I mean, having been a longtime Nintendo fan myself, I think it'd be something that could be interesting. I mean, we'll have to see, and the end result, you know, even if it goes anywhere. One thing I've learned about patents is anybody can do a patent, but whether or not they actually do something with it is something totally different. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 4 of Game Face. This is part 2. I do apologize for the abrupt stoppage. I ran into technical difficulties with Sam, and unfortunately, when we got things back on track, he wasn't able to join me. But on the flip side of things, I would like to welcome back to the show my friend from across the pond, joining me from the UK again, cutting into his sleep time, the man who I curse silently every time I start up Tekken Card, Obi-Wan Jabroni. Welcome back to Game Face, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Before we get started, May the 4th. Be with you and everyone else.
There you go.
How fitting is it to have me on this show, 4-4 so far? So.
There you go. It's kind of interesting for the simple fact that Obi-Wan Jabroni happens to be one of the biggest Star Wars individuals, enthusiasts, that's what I'm thinking of, that I know, to a point where his avatar is named Obi-Wan. I mean, right there. And here we are. May the 4th, which is International Star Wars Day. For those who aren't in the know, watch Star Wars. You'll pick it up from there. It's fairly easy to pick up.
Even we celebrate. Even May the 4th over here. It's an international, like you
said. And international,
yeah. Well, technically, you're supposed to watch all the Star Wars movies today, which
actually a movie theater, not local, but not too far from here, where they're having Star Wars marathon upon marathon upon marathon for half price.
That's awesome.
And I'm just like, that is cool. I mean, you know, and of course, me being the geek that I am, I was at work today saying, "May the 4th be with you." And everybody was just like, huh, what? But lo and behold, I had that one customer walk in, about 8 or 9 years old, walked in, "May the 4th be with you." I'm like, all right, dude, you get it. And he's like, yeah, it's Star Wars Day.
Can you believe, and I know this is a gaming show, not Star Wars, but this franchise is 37 years old. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
You have just successfully managed to make me feel way old today. Thank you, Obi-Wan.
Well, you know, I was born in 77, so, you know, I'm 37, so.
I was born in 73, and I'm now 40. I play with toy guns for a living, and it, anyway, so. So we are here talking gaming, and we got into this a little bit in the pre-show, and you had something you wanted to bring up concerning Tekken Card. So at this point, I'll go ahead and give the floor to you and say have at it.
Well, you know, I brought two topics, and just because there is the two of us, we might have more time to kick around the second one, but I did want to talk about this. It was Soul Calibur, by the way.
Okay.
So they released a game, free-to-play game on PlayStation 3 called Soul Calibur Lost Swords. For people keeping up, Soul Calibur is a weapon-based one-on-one fighting game. So they released this, and it was a huge mess. So you log into the server, and that takes, you know, then you get the old, you know, syncing to server, connecting to server, you get that. And then you get, it says it couldn't connect you and all this, and there's a lot of loading times. But what I wanted to talk about is they've really messed up this whole series. Now, Soul Calibur started off, it wasn't called Soul Calibur. And excuse me for kind of going a bit retro here.
Go for it.
The original name was Soul Blade on the original PlayStation way back in, I think it was released I wish Pook was here. It was around 97, 98.
It looks like the original Soul Calibur was, well, if I look on the right page, sorry. I'm Googling it right now.
It's okay. And it was released on the original PlayStation way back when.
1998, 30 July.
Wow. Yeah.
That was in the arcade. It was released on Dreamcast 5 August 1999.
Right.
I have
that version. Mm.
It was released on iOS 19 January 2012 and Android 20 November 2013.
Wow.
It's been around a while.
It's been around a long time, yeah. And by the way, the name in Japan was Soul Edge. For people keeping track at home, yeah. Right. We in Europe got Soul Blade, and in North America, you guys got Soul Blade too.
Right.
I always thought Soul Edge was the better name, but that's a debate for another day.
Yes.
So yeah, it started off as that, Soul Blade, and then by the time Soul Blade 2 or Soul Calibur, that's when they rebranded it to Soul Calibur. Now, I want to say the original Soul Blade, you know, I still think it holds up today. Soul Blade, you know, Soul Calibur 2, yeah, that's a good game. Soul Calibur 3 is a good one. Soul Calibur 4, that's when it dipped. And I'll tell you why it dipped, because they introduced Star Wars characters in it. And what a time to talk about this on May the 4th. You know, and I do apologize for kind of, you know.
No, bring it, man, bring it.
You know, if people already know all this information, but basically, by the time Soul Calibur 4 came out, they released console exclusive characters as well. So on the PlayStation, we got Darth Vader, I opted for the PlayStation version because Darth Vader, in my opinions, you know, and everyone else's opinion is much better.
Sure.
Xbox got Yoda. So, and in my opinion, that's when Soul Calibur kind of went down a bit. It went down halfway. Now we get onto Soul Calibur 5. Okay, this is where it really dipped in the series, in my opinion, because it was pretty terrible. And then this comes out, Soul Calibur Lost Swords. Now we're up to date. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So this comes out in a huge mess, a huge pile of mesh. No one can get onto the servers. And I know I shouldn't be complaining because it's a free-to-play game, but my point is they've just totally just messed up this series. And a series I love, by the way. And, you know, you log in and, it's a typical free-to-play. I will say this, though. This Lost Swords game, it's not like the Tekken game on PlayStation. It's on PlayStation 3. It's kind of, you can play it as much as you want, as long as you don't die. If you die, you've got to use a continue ticket. Uh-huh. And even if you don't have any continue tickets, you can still carry on with a quest. But my gripe is it's long, very long loading times. So, you're not even guaranteed to get into the fight, because it can kick you out and not even connect to the server, you know? And, it's pretty terrible. And it's, by the way, this game is 3.5 gigs.
3.5 gigs?
Yes, yeah. So that's how much it's going to take on your
goodness.
Yeah, it's, you know. Yeah.
Here's something that's interesting. I don't know how fluent you are in the extended universe for Star Wars.
Okay.
But on the Wikipedia for Soul Calibur 4, special guest stars Darth Vader, Yoda, and the Apprentice.
The Apprentice, yeah. He's on
Starkiller.
Yeah, Starkiller. He's I don't know how much, I don't know where Starkiller exactly plays in lore of Star Wars, but...
My understanding is Force Unleashed happened somewhere between Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Because Vader is still alive.
Right.
And he says, you are not the one who's supposed to rule with me.
Right.
In the second Force Unleashed.
Yep.
So
I do own those two games, but I've not played two.
I own the first one. I used to own the first one. And and you want to talk about a difficult game. That was it. Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
It definitely as it advances itself, I mean, we sat here and we rattle off the evolution of it straight off the Wikipedia page, how it started in coin-op, and it's developed its way through all the way past the console through to mobile gaming at this point.
Yeah.
So... with this in mind, you know, we were what prompted this was a conversation with Tekken Card, and how it syncs up with its servers and it utilizes cloud resources to get accomplished what it needs to get accomplished.
I want to quickly just jump in because the other game, Tekken Revolution on the console, it only talks to the server, what, twice, maybe three times. Not even that. And once you're in the menu, it loads up straight away. This one, every time you go into a menu on Soul Calibur Lost Swords, it literally has to talk to a server. What is it doing?
Well,
I understand there's cheaters and hackers out there. I get that. You know, so they're probably making sure, okay, is this console user coming in legit? But they shouldn't have to communicate with the server all the time, and the long loading times, they really need to get rid of those, because I'm sorry, but I think in this day and age, when you're a console gamer like myself, you kind of want instant, really. I probably sound impatient.
I can understand where you're coming from, but on the flip side of that, like I said in the opener, I continually curse you for Tekken Card, but the reason behind that is because it's so addictive. Now, in between every match, whether you're in campaign mode or arcade mode, it communicates with the server, whether you're just doing it for your regular check-in. Why? A, if you have a username and password set up on your device, it syncs up with the cloud to back up your settings. Okay, like for example, I play Tekken Card on my Note 2. I also have Tekken Card loaded on my Nexus 7.
Okay.
And they constantly talk back and forth and sync up. But
it's quick, though, isn't it?
It's quicker, yeah. Exactly. Something tells me that the communication speed and communication abilities, perhaps Tekken has more bandwidth dedicated to it. Now, granted, Soul Calibur, that's still a Namco Bandai.
Exactly.
So, you know, you would think, quote unquote, that they would have the same resources.
It's different guys who are doing it. My understanding is that it's a different team who's doing it called Project Soul.
Right.
Whereas on Tekken, it's different team. It's a different team. I will say also, while we're talking about mobile and games, Soul Calibur is coming out. There's another game that's due to be released. I don't know whether it's coming out on iOS or Android, whichever first. But I believe it's called Soul Calibur Unbreakable something. I don't know the full name of it. I don't know anything about this title, if it's going to be free to play or it's going to be like Tekken Card. So there is going to be another. So it's kind of funny to me they released this. By the way, this Lost Swords game was supposed to come out ages ago. I think what's happened is the bigger ups at Namco Bandai, or Bandai Namco, sorry, it's called now. I think they were putting pressure on Project Soul to release it quicker.
Because
this game was supposed to come out in around June or July, one of the two. I honestly think that the bigger people up at Namco kind of pushed it too soon. That's what I think. And,
you think they jumped the gun on it a little bit, perhaps?
I do,
they got a little over anxious.
Yeah, this game was highly anticipated for me personally because I think I mentioned on the last show, Tekken Revolution it's getting a bit kind of stale now,
right?
Because they don't have a campaign mode on it yet. I understand, you know, it's free to play and take the time with it. Even if they want us to pay for a campaign mode, I don't mind because I do play Tekken every day. The Revolution, that is. You know, so I think Soul Calibur, this Lost Swords, was rushed. I've always said this, even on the Fat Ninja show, you know, I don't mind waiting. Seriously, I'm a patient gamer. Take your time. As long as the product comes out better,
it's
fine for me.
So. And we've every single one of us, you, me, Pook, even friend of the show, Jason Rivera, PK Pong, Fat Ninja, when he was still on the air, we've all said we don't care how long it takes. We just want a good product. If it sucks, guess what? We're going to shit on it. End of story.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not really going to shit on the game because it's a pretty good game. Plus, it's free.
Right.
So I can't really, you know, I just thought, you know, it would be a better product. And when I see a good product, and I will fully admit this, on Tekken Revolution, I have gave them money because if I feel that it's a you know, it meets my expectations, which Tekken Revolution has,
right.
I don't mind giving them money. I don't mind here. You know what? I'll throw you a few pounds because I support this product.
Right. Yeah. And it's just like being in the developer community. You know, you've got you have an iOS, an iPhone on one hand and a Nexus 7 in the other. So, you know, you have your opportunities to support either one or both.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing like with me. I support the developer community. Now, granted, I can't go out there and I can't put all the money into something that I want to. But, I mean, like, if there's an app that I – for example, we'll just take, for example, in the Android market, SwiftKey.
Right.
For 2 years at least a year, 2 years now probably – I've sworn by SwiftKey. I like SwiftKey so much, I even went and I bought the darn thing. Best $4 I ever spent. It's a keyboard overlay in the Android operating system. You know, if I believe in, whether it be an application, a program, a game, whatever it is, guess what? You better believe I'm going to take a couple bucks and I'm going to throw it their way in support of their application. Now, I can say, too, shamedly, I've spent money on Tekken Card.
It's a very good product, though.
It's a very good product. And,
the way it's set out, the way it's laid, they've got friends. You can have friends designed on it.
Yeah, and that's and I can definitely give my seal of approval, thumbs up, whatever you want to call it. You know, so if you find a product that's out there, your money will speak volumes. If you don't like the way something is, whether it be a game or a console or anything, don't buy it. And that's why, you know, I encourage people, rent before you buy. And I've had that philosophy for a while because I'm a longtime Wii user.
Yeah.
And Wii games, you're lucky if you can find one less than $40. You know, and 40 bucks for some people is a lot of money. Now, granted, 40 bucks for me, it's not like the end of the world, but I mean, if I feel like I've wasted my 40 bucks on a game that I would have been better off renting before I bought, that'd be a different story. So I encourage people, you know, if you got console or whatever, rent before you buy to make sure that you like it and that you're not going to say, oh man, I've been shit on, you know, because your money's going to speak volumes on this. And you know, it supports the developer, it supports the writer, it supports the parent company of whose console or game who designed it. You know, it gives them the thumbs up and it gives them the ability to continue innovating in that particular product.
Yeah, and you know, while we're talking about Tekken Card, I have supported that product by buying the physical cards, a full box of them.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I feel as though, you know, I've not registered them yet, but I mean, you know, I mean, if the thing with Tekken Card is that, it is such a good product, and right. Tekken Revolution, these are very good products, in my opinion. I think basically that these Tekken guys, the Tekken team, I don't know the official name, but I just think they get it, whereas the Soul Calibur team just doesn't get it, or it was rushed. I think I'm going to go on the latter on that one, and I think they were under pressure, and I don't think they should have been put under pressure, because it's come out of terrible products, and what they have to do now, they're going to have to work on a patch of some sort, so some sort of update to the game, and you know, God knows when that's going to come out, and it's just a mess.
right, which I can understand. I mean, you know, you get developers that are out there, and let's see here. You know, and everybody tends to be going a different direction. I mean, Tekken's been out since 1994. Okay?
Yeah. Well-established franchise from Namco.
And it's almost a cult following, because when there used to be lines at the Street Fighter.
Street Fighter.
Then it went to Mortal Kombat, and then it went to, what was it, Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
You know, and then Tekken, and then it just turned into a circle with those. But see, it's been out there, and Tekken is still around. Now, granted, Street Fighter, depending on what day of the week you go to the video store, you know, they've got Street Fighter Alpha 6 Super Blowjob or something like that. Some crazy, you know, off-the-wall thing now to where the storylines are so gelled together that you don't even, you're just like, where the hell did that come from? I mean, there was
back on Street Fighter 2 on Super Nintendo, it was 8 characters, wasn't it?
Oh, where
all these other dudes coming from? You know,
it's just like what? I mean, now, granted, I gotta admit, my favorite character in Street Fighter 2 was Guile, but I also liked playing as Ryu.
Yeah,
and I played the game because of the story,
right?
And how cliche that I'm in a class now that is teaching me how to tell a story well. Well, in the current storyline of Street Fighter, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong on this, but if I'm not mistaken, like, Dalsim is dead, Guile was assassinated, I mean, it's just a bunch of crazy crap. I was like, really? I mean, this is so different from where we were 20 years ago with this franchise. But I mean, you know, bringing it back around to Tekken, it is a good product.
It really is, and I want to say real quick, while we're talking about anniversaries, that this December, actually, Tekken, this, I don't know when the exact date is in December, but yeah, in December it's going to turn 20 years old.
No, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. It's 20 years old for Tekken, and hopefully if Pook's listening to this, then we're going to do a retro dojo on Tekken, because it's definitely worth talking about. It is one of those franchises where I think most of the, you know, majority of the listeners at least have played at least once in their life, or at least a few people like myself have grew up on as well.
Release date in the arcade, original coin op, 9 December 1994.
Yep, there you go.
Wow.
So I guess, December the 9th is when the big Tekken thing. And I'm going to make some predictions here on Tekken while we're talking about Tekken. I honestly think they're going to remake Tekken. God, what is it? On the PS2, God, memories. I want to say it's Tekken 5 and Tekken 4 and 5 in HD. I think we're going to get that for the 20th. That seems to be a common trend, and that's a nice segue for my second topic that I brought.
Go ahead, bring it in.
Okay, so around June, and I know it was June because it was E3 week, they released a game called The Last of Us on the PlayStation 3. It's a PS3 exclusive. Basically, the game Soul Calibur, but just to get a little, you know, give a little bit of a backstory. The game is like an apocalyptic game. You know, everyone's dead, and you have this girl called Ellie and Joel, basically. And I do own the game. I've not played it, but basically, what they're doing is, in a couple of months or in a month's time, they're releasing it on the old PS4. So it's basically HD of HD. My question to you, Piper, was, for this generation of consoles, is that all we're going to get?
See, here's my problem with the newer generation of consoles. And this is going to open up a can of worms that I've argued with people time and time again, ever since, Xbox One was initially released. And that is backwards compatibility. Mm-hmm. All right? Xbox 360, for the longest time, played the original Xbox games.
It played about 20%.
Yeah.
It didn't play all of them. Okay.
See, now, my favorite game on Xbox of all time, and I say this without even flinching and thinking twice, Ninja Gaiden Black.
Right? That does work.
That does work. It doesn't work on the Xbox One, though.
No.
No, it doesn't. And that is that's the biggest bug up the ass for me with these newer consoles, because backwards compatibility will not function. Now,
to be fair, I want to jump in real quick.
All right.
Before you go on.
Okay.
That was two consoles ago, though, right? I mean,
right.
You would agree that Ninja Gaiden Black was two generations ago.
It's still an Xbox, Obi.
It worked on the 360.
But it's still an Xbox.
It's still made by Microsoft, I understand.
But I mean, tight-ass cheapskate, Obi-Wan, okay? If I don't have to buy that game again, I'm not going to.
You're not going to, yeah, exactly.
Okay, now, going off of The Last of Us.
Okay.
Why are they going to re-release this? Because PlayStation 3 games are not backwards compatible with PlayStation 4. Now, going off of the same argument that you just gave me, well, that was two generations ago. Okay, I get that. All right. PlayStation 4. Why can't I play a PlayStation 3 on a PlayStation 4? Why do I have to buy the damn game again?
Yeah, I do, you know, buying the physical copy again kind of sucks. If they release it at a reduced price, maybe like $30, that's, you know, maybe. But like, the thing with backwards compatibility is, this is the issue, this is the thing, they have to put a physical chip in there to do it. Because I have the PlayStation 3 that does it, which, by the way, cost £425 or so when it first came out.
What?
It did.
Yeah.
The 60 gig, the 60 gig original PlayStation 3 on launch in 2006 or 7, I can't remember which one, £425. That is
what a bug for, up for the you, ass.
Yeah, for you guys in the States, it was $600.
Yeah.
You're not telling me that you're going to pay $600. To be honest, I did want the PS3 because of the back, because of backwards compatibility. But you know what, Piper? I've hardly used it. I've used it 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, but see, the thing that I get hung up on.
Okay.
And I'll go back to the Microsoft thing here, really quick. Got an Xbox 360. Okay. Put in my Ninja Gaiden Black.
Yeah.
It danced around. It read. It scanned. It said loading. It said processing. It said all this other crap. And then the screen went blank as it tried to access my Wi-Fi and said, "There is an update available for this game. Please hold so we can download the update and use this software on this Xbox." So if it's a software patch that you need, produce a damn software patch. Don't make me buy the game again.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, you've got the physical copy, which is great.
Yeah.
So it's fine for you, but I mean, there's a lot of people out there who don't have the physical copy now. The whole backwards compatibility in the PlayStation 4, they don't have it. There's no physical chip in there now.
What do they need the chip for? What does the chip do? I don't. You said it needs a chip.
It emulates it basically.
So they need an emulator is what they need.
Yeah, they need an emulator, a software emulator. Can they do this through software in the back of the OS backend somehow? Maybe.
I'm going to get real troll here, and I don't want to do it on purpose, but bringing this up, I don't know why I'm so trollish today. Anyway,
go ahead.
So you say the chip holds an emulator,
right?
Why not make the emulator available on PlayStation Network to where the PlayStation will download the damn thing and install it?
Yeah, I get you, but they don't want to do that because they want to sell us a service called PlayStation Now, which is going to stream us these so-called games, so-called stream on a good connection, by the way. And so we can play these games via stream.
All right.
No pricing has come out for PlayStation Now. So this is why this is the service they're going to sell us. And as far as Microsoft goes, because I know you're Googling PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
I the whole backwards compatible, the whole library for 360 for original Xbox games really sucks. Because I have a copy of MGS2 sat on my shelf. I don't have a physical original Xbox. And, it's killing me because I've never played it. And that's not on the list.
Now, wait a minute. You've got a PC at home, don't you?
I've got a Mac.
You got a Mac.
I do have a Windows partition on here.
No, I was going to say, there's an Xbox emulator, I think. Yeah.
By the way, I was really sarcastic when I said I'm not, because MGS2, I have played it on the PlayStation, obviously. But, I mean, it would be nice to kind of play it on the Microsoft, system. But, I mean, to go out and buy an original Xbox, I mean, that's pointless to me at this point.
Here we go. Check this out. Yeah. Xbox emulator for Mac.
There we go. My
coolrom.com/Xbox.
There we go. So that's my
and there's two of them listed here.
So that's my Monday morning sorted out.
There you go.
Imagine
you can find when you Google something.
Anyway. Yeah, we've got no backwards compatible BC. I'm just gonna say BC.
All right.
Yeah. So we got no BC in the Xbox One. At the minute, which kind of sucks.
In my opinion, it needs to come off the shelf with that. Yeah. It needs to be BC. Now, granted, okay, I will recognize your argument. Ninja Gaiden Black was two generations ago. Okay,
even
I'll
Nintendo
recognize
don't,
that.
Even Nintendo doesn't support two generations.
Well,
they
of course not.
One...
Two generations ago was cartridge, not CD. Yeah. And yeah. you know, but GameCube games work on my Wii.
They do, and that
but
was one generation ago.
That's only one generation. And it's still CD. So I will recognize your argument.
By the way,
Ninja Gaiden Black was
Wii
two
U,
generations.
Wii U, Wii games work on there.
Yeah.
So they do. They support. Nintendo's very good about this. I've noticed this.
Yeah.
Oh. Wii games. Yeah, Wii. And you can play them on the tablet too.
Now, do GameCube games work on a Wii U?
Unfortunately, not.
Okay, well,
I'm sure there's a way to do it.
That's the rule of two. Two generations, okay? There's a trend. Microsoft, Ninja Gaiden Black worked on Xbox and Xbox 360, but not on Xbox One. That's two generations. GameCube works on Wii, but GameCube doesn't work on Wii U. That's two generations. Wii works on Wii U. That's two generations. So the next one... Whatever it is, if there's another one, if you go off of what Brian from Toon said last time he was on. Wii games will not work on that console, whatever it is, if it's even around.
Exactly.
Keep
your Wiis around.
Yeah. So, you know, the BC factor that we've been talking about here.
Yeah.
Okay, I can recognize the two generation thing. Okay, for example, Windows 8 will not run Windows XP applications, programs, etc. You got to buy the new one. Okay, so it's two generations. I can kind of see how that would somewhat...
I want to say it's the same with Mac, too. I mean, I don't think anything on Mac
10.5.
Two OSs ago works, right?
10.5. You can go all the way down to 10.5.
Oh, okay.
And I'm pretty
sure... that's fair.
I mean, they're looking out for their best interest.
They want you to get the new thing. They want even these OS makers like Mac and Windows, they want you to get the new thing. It makes sense. Same with the consoles. They want you to go out and buy the new thing.
We see 10.5, though, that was a breaking point. When 10.5 came out, the PowerPC was made obsolete.
Yeah.
And everything went Intel for Mac.
Yeah.
So 10.5... 10.6, 10.7, 10.8, that's where they said everything was Intel. Now, I have a PowerBook that's running 10.4.11 right now. Just for the simple fact I'm such a cheapskate, I don't need 10.5 because I've got a MacBook Air sitting here on the desk. So I don't need the 10.5 update for my PowerBook. It makes a great domain controller and a DHCP host. You know, and it manages all that stuff, and it's a file server and a print server and everything else that I want it to do.
You're not doing any net stuff on it, so.
No, I'm not. It's all this side of the firewall. It's all this side of the firewall. So it's nothing, I don't have to worry about security updates on it because it's on this side of the firewall. The Linux box is taking care of my firewall. But the other side of that is 10.5, like I said, it's where the Intel... chips started becoming dominant in the processors on the Mac side of life. So they're just like, okay, we'll put out one more update for the PowerPC chips, and this is where we're going to start at zero for Intel. 10.5. Boom. This is where it is. So anything before this, obviously, PowerPC is not going to be able to get a hold of. Now, if depending on how you utilize your Macware, a lot of your older applications that have been out for a while that are started out Mac and continued on with Mac, they will give you the option, if you have 10.5, to either go with PowerPC or Intel. Now, however, since Mobile World Congress last year, where they made Mavericks available to everybody for free upgrade, that as long as you're running an Intel PC, and you can support, you've got enough RAM and all that other kind of crap, that's a different story. So, you know, is Mac going to be transitioning themselves to a position where they're no longer going to support, you know, anything before, say, 10.7? I mean, is this coming to the same position? I don't know. Mobile World Congress is going to be really interesting because there's a lot of people speculating about what Apple's going to do this year. And we're not going to get on that because we're talking about games. But, you know,
it's just an example.
It is an example. PC. Yes, it is an example. But we're greater than two generations on that because 10.5, 10.6, 10.7, now we're up to 10.8. Okay, that's four generations.
Right.
So, but I think computers.
It's a different.
I think that's a different beast. I think it's its own creature because
it's a different beast. Yeah.
Windows XP just recently went kaput, and there's many people that are arguing one side and the other as to what XP is vulnerable or XP can survive. And as a matter of fact, I heard that the UK made an agreement with Microsoft that they would continue support of XP for overseas for an extra 5 or 6 years or something of that nature.
Yeah, it's a lot of businesses over here that unfortunately use XP.
Right.
A lot of hospital equipment, which boggles my mind. Hospital equipment using XP. It's not online, obviously. But,
right. Yeah. It's on a localized network.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, I can understand that because you're talking databases. You're talking not one user station. You're talking, you know, the average floor hospital has 50 rooms.
Right.
So let's just say
they're not going to upgrade all those.
That it's divided into three wards. Okay. Yeah. So you've got four computers to take care of those 50 rooms and multiply that over seven floors. You know, you're talking a very extensive network. Plus, you know, over here in the States at least, they're getting to where a lot of the nurses and the LPNs are carrying around laptops or computers on wheels to, you know, to move stuff around and to take notes because everything's going wireless or paperless or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, there's pros and cons to either way. But, I mean, the bottom line and where I'm getting to this is if we look at the life of Windows XP – and how long it went, and how many people bitched and moaned and complained and griped because they couldn't play their Windows 98 games on Windows XP. Okay? Windows 2000, when it came out, could have done a lot better than it did, but too many people wanted to play their bullshit games, and so it tanked. Because it was designed for the business. It was designed to be a working operating system. Windows XP came out. It had backwards compatibility mode. You know, to where you could play Windows 98 games in a safe emulated environment. So, you know, and then Windows XP did its thing. Well, Windows 7 doesn't have compatibility mode. You can't play a Windows 98 game on Windows 7. Why you would have a Windows 98 game still on a Windows 7 machine baffles the hell out of me.
Hey, people like Solitaire, okay?
And Solitaire comes built into the operating system. Well, at least it. Well, I don't know that for sure.
I'm pretty sure you can get Solitaire on any device now.
I was going to say you can get that just about anywhere. But I mean, you know, like one of my favorite games in Windows 98 realm was Command & Conquer Red Alert. I loved it. Oh, my goodness. I burned so much time playing that, especially when it came out on the first PlayStation, and you could link two consoles together and crazy crap like that. I had a lot of fun with it. You know, so backwards compatibility only goes so far. But if you're telling me that all that little PlayStation chip holds is an emulator, as far as I'm concerned, put it on the fucking web.
Well, you know, the PlayStation before they took out BC, physical disc BC, because I don't know if, I wish Pook was here because he has one of the new PlayStations. Mine's the original one. But as far as I know, a lot of the games do work on, and you can play PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 on the version that I've got.
On a PlayStation 4?
On a PlayStation 3.
PlayStation 3. Oh, I'm sorry.
And
okay.
These are discs. And also, that it will play, because they sell the games on PSN, their online store. So it will play those two what you buy. And you can use those as well on a PSP, I believe, and a PS Vita.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so PlayStation have got, for the PlayStation 3 at least, they've got a good BC library if you want to go back. For PlayStation 4, they've not got nothing yet. But like
you can
download
the digital content and get it that way, right?
Not yet.
No,
not on PlayStation 4. No, not currently. There is a beta for PlayStation Now, which is the streaming service we mentioned.
Right.
But again, no pricing has been come out yet or anything, and we don't know what the library is going to be like. You know, while we're talking about this PlayStation Now and the whole BC thing, I honestly think PlayStation's going to release a console that only does the streaming thing. It's going to have no discs, and I think that's going to be our first taste of digital only.
Okay, so with that thought in mind, let's bring to light the Ouya.
Okay.
How that came out, and that was designed to be a solid digital device. Download yeah. your games, developer supported, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With that statement for the new PlayStation, are you implying that the Ouya could have been before its time?
I think so. I think the problem with the Ouya was it didn't have developer support, and they didn't get their games wasn't promoted as well. I noticed, and
right.
There's not a lot of fanfare about their games. Also, I think the console, it was too expensive for what it could do. It was $100, but I think it could have been less than that. I do believe it had storage. I don't know how much exactly. 32? Was it 16 or 32 gig? One of the two.
I think it came in both 16 and 32.
Okay, and you could plug in a USB?
Right.
I think.
Yeah, you had USB expansion.
Yeah, I think I said this when we talked about this last time. I don't think there's any place for these Android-based consoles just because the fact that you can get Android games on a lot of other platforms, i.e., you know, your phone or tablet.
Uh-huh.
And I think the Play Store is pretty much a good front for all that stuff. I don't think there needs to be another storefront for all that stuff.
I'll agree with that because the more and more flexibility that comes out in the Android market, the more and more cross-compatibility with Chromecast is revealed as well.
Yeah, right.
So there's a lot of games, for example, you mentioned earlier in the call that you just got a Chromecast. You haven't got it out yet, and I encourage you that get your Nexus and install AllCast. Because it is a powerful, it's more powerful than the Chromecast app is, as far as I'm concerned. And that's what I have on both of my Android tablets. I have the Chromecast app on my Mac. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I prefer AllCast because it just gives me more flexibility. I can take Tekken Card and I can throw it to the big screen TV, and I can play Tekken Card on the TV through the Chromecast.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it shocked the hell out of me when it happened because I did it by accident. So, you know, an Android-based console, I'm going to agree with you and say, yeah, that's not really necessary. But pure digital games, and we're talking about this for the next generation of PlayStation that comes out, and this is coming around full circle, and I apologize, it's a little fragmented. But the next generation game console coming without a type of media, meaning it's majority cloud resource, meaning you go through a marketplace or store of some sort and say, oh, yeah, I want to play the new PlayStation, what is it, Sonic? Is that what the PlayStation Hero is now, the big one? I think it's Sonic. No, it's not Sonic. Who's the big...
Uncharted.
Uncharted. Okay.
That's a big franchise.
So I want to play the new Uncharted. So you go into your PlayStation Now network, the PlayStation Now store, and you find Uncharted. It says, okay, you want to download this game? It'll cost you X amount of dollars, whether it be Or do you want to stream it? Yeah.
For 3 days for $3. Let's just speculate that.
There you go. Yeah, see? So it could be you could stream a demo. Much would be the same as going to the video store and renting it, or Redbox and renting it, or down the street to your buddy's house and saying, hey, let me borrow that game because I want to see if I like it or not. You know? So much the same thing. So in streaming a game like that, number one, you're promoting the always on that a lot of people argue against for a very long time. Number two, people like you, Obi, just say they produce a new Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
You know, you are a diehard MGS fan. You've got them all. You even have the one for Xbox that you've never played because you don't have an Xbox to put it on. So if PlayStation produces a new MGS that is either streaming or download, what are you going to do? What is it? How does this work to the collector like you?
I'm still going to play it. I mean, the game's going to be hopefully available on the console I've got now, PlayStation 4, where I can stream it, or PlayStation 3, wherever they decide to put it. So, I mean, they're not going to leave us with the console out, this new so-called new console that I've just predicted.
Right. This is all speculation. Okay. Understand. Yeah. This is all speculation because there is no PlayStation announcement in the works. E3 is coming up in what, 2 months, Obi?
June.
Okay. So it's a little over a month away. We don't have any rumors concerning PlayStation. All that's on the books right now for E3 is Microsoft rumors. I haven't found any PlayStation rumors. I'm going to get to that here in a minute once I cover the story that I'm wanting to get to. But, you know, so with the next generation and backwards compatibility BC as we've been discussing it, going from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5, PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3, etc., my opinion, okay, the going trend is two generations, Xbox, Xbox 360. Xbox One isn't going to run original Xbox games. I get that. I can respect that.
That's way down the road.
That's also a ways back, too. I get that, okay? So PlayStation 2.
But for the price, while we're talking about Xbox One.
You know, it's software, Obi.
I know.
Set up the patch, okay?
Yeah, $500. It should play 360 games. I do agree with that.
Yes. If it needs a patch, if it needs an emulator, you know, you're paying guys 50 and 60K a year to sit around and push a mouse and stroke themselves. Produce the fucking emulator, put it on Xbox Live, so when it sees that this is being accessed, it downloads the emulator, installs it in the hard drive, and off you go. This does nothing but help your business.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people, believe it or not, when the new generation comes out, they either sell or unplug, most likely sell, their old one to get the new. You know, out with the old, in with the new. People like me and Book, we're not going to get rid of ours because we're hoarders. Or collectors. You know, it's a nicer word.
Use the word collector.
I think it's a nicer word. You know, we're collectors, so we're not going to get rid of our stuff. But, I mean, but there's a lot of people out there, and I listen to a lot of independent podcasts that say this, you know, that, yeah, we've totally just, you know, sold our, you know, other one. Or a lot of people, you know, a few people have unplugged it. I like to unplug it and just kind of make room because I've fucking run out of room.
Yeah, but see, if you've, and this, once again, I can understand the rule of two, okay? But if you've got your PlayStation 4 and you're feeling froggy one day,
Yeah.
And you want to play the original MGS, you've got to get up off the couch, go to whatever closet you've got your PlayStation 2 buried in, blow the dust off it, probably blow the dust out of the inside of it, hook the damn thing up, pray that it runs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so when all you actually need is a software patch.
Yeah. See, in my case, though, Piper, all I'd have to do is just put the disc in the PlayStation 3 because it would play it. I also, when I bought MGS, the Legacy Collection, they gave you a download code for the original MGS.
Oh, my God. Really?
So, yeah, I'm a special case. don't forget, I'm a very special case because, and don't forget with the, like I mentioned earlier, with that, because I have that download, and I can, by the way, I can re-download that, what, the original MGS as many times as I want. I can put that game on a PSP or a PS Vita, and I can take it with me.
So let's take this outside the realm of your passion of a game.
That's a very special case.
Yeah, it's because now, you are a fan of MGS, okay?
Yeah, that is a very niche case.
It is a niche case. So let's go ahead and take it outside of the niche, the thing that you will fight, kill, and destroy to obtain, and let's flip it over and put it into... are you an Uncharted fan? Yes or no?
No, but okay. Let's take MGS and let's flip it so it's not a niche case.
Yeah, that's
and,
what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of another game that you'd like Tekken.
Tekken, let's go ahead.
Tekken Tag. Yeah, okay. Tekken Tag, it didn't do very good in the coin op, but it did do pretty decent when it got into console.
Yeah.
So let's take Tekken Tag. All right. Comes out for download PlayStation 3. Comes out for download PlayStation, or no, I'm sorry, physical disc PlayStation 3 for download PlayStation 4 and streaming option in this hypothesized PlayStation system that we've been kind of tossing around here.
Without a disc drive,
right. And, you know, do you want to A, play it online, B, stream it, or 3-day demo for $3? Okay, so... At that point in time,
depends on your internet connection, doesn't it? I mean,
it would all depend on your internet connection. I mean, if you live over here in the States and you have an unnamed internet provider, which is supposed to be the biggest internet provider of the continental United States, but the reason why I don't have them anymore is because A, their service sucks. And B, their customer service people said, well, you can have up to, but that doesn't say anything about anything under that. So I told them to go fuck off, and I switched. But the flip side to that is if you don't have a good connection, your game is going to suck balls.
Yeah, you're gonna get a lot of what they call it. They got a lot of tearing. Is that
what it's called? Tearing?
Screen tearing. Yeah.
Screen tearing, huh? Back in the day, we used to call that digital dropout.
Yeah, it's gonna load stuff as well. You'll see it, especially if you're playing a game like, say, GTA.
Uh-huh.
When you're driving along, it has to load in the textures. As well, so
my goodness,
it already does that now. But I mean, if you just imagine if you're streaming it and you've not got a good connection, I don't want to boast, but I've got 16 meg, so I don't know if that's good enough for this PlayStation Now service. But
I so hate you right now
because my PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3 is wireless, so that does make a difference.
Oh, right. But see, those wireless cards now, they're running 100 megs through.
Pretty much.
Without any question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm running 20 down to up.
That's not too bad.
No, it's not too awful bad for over here in the States, because finding symmetrical wireless is going to be next to impossible. But at this very moment in time, you have to think what I'm running, too, all on wireless, well... Not all on wireless connection, because my Skype box is hardwired in. But I do have Call of Duty running in the background on the Xbox 360. My son is watching Netflix on his tablet. Plus, I'm surfing as we talk concerning different things.
The connection's fine. I've not.
Oh yeah.
You've not. You've probably your voice has gone Darth Vader once, but that's it. Well, other than that, it's been pretty solid.
So let's just say,
okay,
for the sake of argument, this new speculated PlayStation, and as God is my witness, if somebody comes out with this idea, so help me, I'm going to go patent troll on them.
Well, by the way, this console is probably this console is going to cost $100 probably.
$100,
yeah, it's going to cost. And PlayStation is an established name, so
since we're dreaming, we just might as well shoot for the moon.
I think you know if they do release this console though, I think it's going to be a Sony product, a typical Sony product
that looks
nice. Yeah, it's going to be the typical, you know, that it's going to look nice. It's going to be very slim, and you know, and you heard it here first. If they release this, then
you heard it here
holy
first.
Crap. Yeah,
we'll go patent troll on these guys and say, "Hey, look, May 4th, 2014, Obi-Wan Jabroni and I, Piper the DJ, broke this device down. There was no press release for it concerning this prior to that date."
Yeah. Also, it's going to have expandable storage. So just in case you do run out of the storage, onboard storage it comes with.
Expandable to 128 gig.
Yeah, I mean, you can hook your own USB drives. Whether that's going to, you know, encourage piracy, who knows? But you'd think they'd lock that stuff down pretty much.
Right.
I mean, I honestly think if they could get this device out for people who just want to stream, they don't want to buy physical media, I think this PlayStation, they should call it just PlayStation Stream or something or whatever.
PlayStation Stream, huh?
Yeah, I think it'd be perfect. You know, I think...
In mind, since we're speculating the hell out of this console, PlayStation Stream is one iteration after the current console, which is PlayStation 4. PlayStation 4 is about 50-50. You've got 50% on disc, 50% off the PlayStation Now. So what do you do if you're one of those individuals that has a PlayStation 4 when this PlayStation Stream is released? You sell your PlayStation 4, but you keep all your games.
If it doesn't have a disk drive, you're kind of out of luck, right?
What if we make this device compatible with an external CD-ROM that you could plug in via USB?
See, yeah, that would work because they've got USB 3 on these consoles now. So that could potentially work. I just don't see them doing it because if you remember way back on the 360, HD DVD drive didn't go down too very well.
It didn't go very well.
Yeah, but then again, HD DVD, it was a separate format. This is using Blu-ray, an established format. It's the standard now. I just don't know about stacking another. I mean, this product's not for me. But I mean, if I didn't have a PlayStation 4. I just don't want to stack something on top of something, you know?
Okay, what about making it, instead of stacking another device, let's see here, what if we make this to where it could wirelessly communicate with a Blu-ray drive?
That could work. There might be some latency, you know. I don't know if there's going to be any latency. Then again,
you'd have latency streaming a game, Obi.
Yeah, depending on your connection.
Depending on your connection, if you get a connection that's under a mega, a meg transfer,
which a lot of people are,
you're going to have latency.
Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, this is all speculation.
Of course. And it's just for the sake of argument. I mean, I'm sitting here purposefully playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm super troll today. I don't understand why.
I think for me, I know you asked me that. Which would I choose? Uh-huh. I think if it was reasonably priced, I think I'd choose the download. If I had this, you know, this new so-called PlayStation, if they, you know, a streaming-only one. I think I'd choose the download, to be honest. I wouldn't rely on streaming it. Plus, with the download, it's going to be forever mine.
Even if it was MGS?
Yeah, I'd think, you know, I don't mind owning the digital version of it. I think this is the way we're going, because don't forget, they want to put GameStop out of business that's the middleman right there.
That's your primary boost on the retail resale market.
Yeah, I'm is letting, GameStop. You know, the only thing with GameStop and the other one, you know, they'll still sell the consoles, you know, where they sell Best Buy. There's always Best Buy, Target, Kmart. There's always those guys.
Yeah, but they're for new. They don't do resell.
Right. You're right.
Right?
I get what you're saying. It's the same here. You know, our biggest one is Game.
Right.
They do pre, you know, second-hand stuff, and it is a lucrative market. And I think, you know, do I agree with pre-owned stuff? I'm in two minds about pre-owned. I really am. I mean, on one way, I agree with it, but I think if you really like a game, a franchise, let's say Tekken, I'm going to buy it brand new. I'm sorry. I want to support that developer.
Right. Because they're doing a good job.
Exactly.
They're doing a good job. So
if it's a franchise I don't care about, then I may go pre-owned, though.
Well, and that's where your money's going to speak volumes, is where, you know, the decisions that you make financially are going to support or refute what these guys do. You know,
if I've got a streaming option, yeah, give me, you know, I'll try the streaming option. It's going to be available to me no matter what console I've got, you know. So I think that this streaming PlayStation, though, it's not for a device for me. I think it's for people who don't have a PlayStation. I know Poot Ninja's not got one yet. I think this device would be perfect for him if it's a lot cheaper. But then again, he does prefer physical media.
Right, right. And there's some people that do. I mean, me, myself, personally, myself, I don't game on console per se. I mean, I'm an avid paintballer, so first-person shooters are kind of cliche for me. But, I mean, like, we're talking also in the pre-show, Cartoon Wars. I downloaded that on the Android system. You know, Tekken Card, I downloaded that on the Android system. Candy Crush, when I was playing that, I'm not anymore, but when I was playing that, I downloaded it on the Android system. I haven't owned a physical game in a while.
Yeah, this is funny though with digital media, because if you remember, it was iTunes that did this.
Yes.
I think Steve Jobs didn't like clutter.
No. Steve Jobs hit me almost OCD. You know, one of those guys that was really obsessive compulsive about, you know, it has to be clean, it has to be sharp. We've said it many times. It's got to be sexy.
It's got to be simple, too.
Yeah, it's just got to work. Obi, we've been on the phone for approaching the two-hour mark. By the time editing and everything is done on this, I'm not quite sure what my final out time is, but I do have a story that I want to bring to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
And this is and now I know that you're not a big first-person shooter guy, but this is for Call of Duty. The next iteration of Call of Duty is supposed to be classified as, quote, advanced warfare. Now, this particular article coming in off of IGN, headline cites, quote, 11 Call of Duty game changers in advanced warfare. And we're just going to go right down this list. We're going to rifle through it. Call of Duty, the new developer is Sledgehammer Games, due for release globally. I'm sorry, United States, Australia, and UK, for November 2014, with the following modifications and additions. Okay? Number one, an exosuit. Good thing, bad thing?
I have no idea what it is.
Okay, so the write-out on it is, the first thing you see in the trailer is an exosuit, and it's likely to be a huge part of gameplay, both in terms of combat and mobility. Its basic function gives the player enhanced strength and the ability to jump extreme distances. You'll be able to do melee attacks from afar. Will we be able to recreate the freeway scene from The Matrix? We're excited to discover the answer. Now, this leads me to think that maybe it's a Halo runoff. You know how you had Master Chief, kind of?
Yeah, it does sound like it, yeah. It sounds cool from what you just said. You know, if I was an FPS guy,
Right.
I'll be totally excited about this.
I would agree with that too. It would be the next generation. Yeah. Now, granted, as I've said, I'm the avid paintballer of the group. So putting a joystick in my hand and taking my gun away is kind of cliche for me. But if I were, added powers, now would this, I love watching my son play Call of Duty. I love watching my wife play Call of Duty, so seeing this, I mean, is this going to offset balance though?
I think you're always going to get this with games though, especially these types of games. You're always going to find people that try and exploit and find exploits, and taking advantage. Also, I don't know if this is down the list, but don't forget the newest kid on the block, Titanfall.
Right.
They'll want to take on those guys, Respawn.
Right.
They'll want to get as many of those players on board as possible. So they're going to have to introduce something new. And I'm glad because this is what this franchise needs. It's, to me, it's always been the same,
Right. Yeah, it has. They've just changed around. Okay, so item number two, wall climbing, described as, quote, not quite the wall running we've become accustomed to in Titanfall, but wall climbing is definitely going to change transversal as we know it in the Call of Duty series. It also gives the game designers a chance to add verticality to map design. So not only left, right, forward, and back, but also up and down.
Sounds like Spider-Man.
Yeah, kinda, yeah. Mm. This is something we've rarely seen from any franchise. However, this does have us wondering if wall hanging will also be a feature. Let's not try to imagine what campers would do with that kind of power. Now, if we think, see, I'm also an avid Metroid fan. And Super Metroid, I believe, they introduced the grapple beam, which is nothing more than a grappling hook. But you can also use it as a lasso to latch onto stuff, pull yourself up, and just kind of hang while you're waiting. So, snipers, people who like to camp, people like to find themselves a perch and just kind of sit there, and as somebody walks by, boom! Okay, so, knowing that you're on a map someplace that has lots of high spots that are inaccessible, but anybody can climb to these areas. What do you think about that one, Obi?
Yeah, sounds pretty cool. Again, something different, and they're definitely going after Titanfall.
It adds a depth.
And I don't know what platforms this is coming out. I'm guessing, obviously, new gen, Xbox One, PlayStation 4.
Current listing, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4, and PC. No sighting of Xbox One.
Yeah, see, that's a bit strange, but they have to release for new gen and obviously old gen. There's an audience already established like yourself. So
right,
but yeah, I think they're introducing new features that I've not even heard about in previous games. So yeah,
make it
third person, and I might buy a copy.
There we go. Well, here's item number three. A mech suit. And once again...
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh, here we go. Catch this one. You're already going to be in an exosuit. So what could the designers give you in one-up another player? How about a mech suit with a Gatling gun?
Wow.
Do I hear Iron Man?
They're really going after Titanfall. I know I mentioned Titanfall a lot.
Listen
here,
to this.
But...
hold on. We obviously don't know if this will be in multiplayer, but immediately made us think of the last Titan Standing game type of Titanfall.
Wow.
Perhaps Sledgehammer Games plans to use this bulked up mech as some form of juggernaut in multiplayer.
Yeah, they don't know. They know, and it's going to be online, and it's going to be more than six. I know Titanfall is 6-on-6. This is going to be more than 6-on-6. Just to kind of say, you know, just to have that box quote on the back or feature on the back saying, yeah, it's going to be whatever the 12-on-12 or whatever right. It's going to be, you know. So, yeah, I think they're really going after these Titanfall players and they really want them to sell or trade in their copy of Titanfall and say, hey, look what we got.
But see, this is for this. They're not sure if this is going to work for multiplayer. But see, is there going to be campaign mode for this as well? I mean,
yeah. I think every Call of Duty has it, right?
I'm pretty sure of it. Yeah. Item number 4, invisibility. Camouflage that makes you invisible is hardly novel for the first-person shooter genre, but this is the first time Call of Duty has gone far enough into the future for us to see it in-game. I believe 24-something is the timeline for this. So, invisibility, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that's, again, you know, cool feature. You know, we've seen invisibility cloaks in other games.
Right.
My question is, though, how can the opponent see you? Is some special type of goggle or something? Or is it just a... I'm guessing it's going to be you're going to be invisible for obviously a limited amount of time.
Well,
which is
this kind of comes into number 5 and number 6. Number 5 being infrared grenade. This is a big departure from everything we know about infrared in games. We can only assume that a grenade will have limited area and effect last only briefly. But a player that can see through the walls in a highly trafficked area is going to be a force to be reckoned with multiplayer. So take the infrared grenade.
Okay.
Combine it with the invisibility.
Wow.
Now, there has been nothing mentioned so far about this mech suit or this exosuit masking heat signature. So therefore, if they're invisible and you throw the grenade and get confirmation that they're there, poof, there you go. They're visible.
Yeah. Yes, it seems pretty cool. By the way, I do know it does have campaign because I know the bad guy is Kevin Spacey.
Right, Kevin Spacey. And I'm getting there. I haven't gotten that far yet, but I'm getting there.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, number 6, the light net. This power is a little more ambiguous, but it appears as if it detects enemy movement, or at the very least, scans the terrain. While the exact benefits are unknown, it could be used to detect mines or equipment in an environment, or perhaps an invisible opponent.
Yeah, sounds like the mine detector from past MGS games.
There you go. There you go. Number 7. Deployable cover. The best thing I can compare this to would be like a transportable lean-to or a duck blind.
Right, yeah.
Okay, teammate, throw down a cover almost anywhere. Well, we're guessing this is essential for your survival in a hectic battlefield. Produce a portable shelter, pretty much.
Yeah, something you probably see that in Gears of War, to be honest.
Yeah, you think?
You might.
But
you might.
We'll see, we'll see. Number 8, hover bikes.
Okay, this sounds cool.
Getting from point A to point B never looked so good. Not only do these bikes look fast, they also look deadly when hurling at a barrage of bullets at anyone in the way. We haven't seen a manable vehicle in Call of Duty multiplayer since World at War, so we'll be surprised to see these hover bikes made available to players online. Still, any big change in the series is a welcomed one in our book. This screams Halo to me.
Yeah, and other vehicles. I know you can get vehicles in Battlefield as well.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah.
This screams Halo. I'm not quite sure. I mean, it looks kind of cool, but I mean...
If they could release a DLC and have the... Since it's Star Wars Day and have those Star Wars... remember those vehicles?
Oh, the speeder bikes, yeah. Right,
yeah, the speeder bikes in the forest. Oh,
right.
Man, that'd be so... How cool would that be?
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. New drones is number 9. Another addition is the fact of new drones. Although drones appeared in the franchise before, Advanced Warfare seems to place considerable emphasis on unmanned vehicles. We see groups of them deployed in what looks like a single-player portion of the game, But there's one sequence when a soldier tosses a turret drone into the air. A turret.
Wow.
Something where in Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Ghost, I'm sorry, where you actually have to take time to set this thing up. It's a ground manned. This is something that's air manned.
Yeah. Again, easy. They've. It seems they've made it more accessible and just easier.
Uh-huh.
Simplified it.
Right, right. Okay, number 10, spider tanks. Okay. Not only do we see hover bikes, but there's also a scene that shows a spider tank terrorizing anyone that gets near us. Again, we don't know if this would show up in multiplayer, but having speedy hover bikes go up against a slow but powerful tank sounds like something we'd like to experience online. Again, this sounds like Halo, Obi.
I think they've been looking at Halo and seeing how much they can improve it, you think?
Now, this is going to be released on Xbox, so it's going to be available in the Microsoft camp. But okay. I don't know.
Just Halo just screams out.
I think it's just screaming Halo with the military aspect. Of course, Halo is military, but it's also really futuristic military. I think this is just screaming Halo.
Yeah,
I really do, with a different type of setting, you know? And then, of course, as we touched earlier, number 11 is Kevin Spacey. We didn't expect Kevin Spacey. He'll be telling us to prepare for any kind of falls in multiplayer, but we know that he'll be the driving force behind the campaign. Having an actor of his caliber on the cast list gives us tremendous hope for what the story of Advanced Warfare is going to offer. Now, this is actually Kevin Spacey, not like in MGS where Kiefer Sutherland played a voiceover for Snake. We're actually talking Kevin Spacey in all his glory.
It's his likeness.
Yeah. Is the villain. And might I say, after watching a couple episodes of House of Cards, Kevin Spacey is a really good badass. Just saying.
I'm glad. You know, it's cool that they're getting an actual person and, you know, not just a voice. And it has his likeness, right?
It's supposed to be him.
Okay, that's cool. That a person that you could shoot in the face. you know. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. And he's the villain in this, right?
He is the villain, yes. He does, and like I said, after watching a couple episodes of House of Cards on Netflix, he plays a really good bad guy. I don't care what anybody says. He plays a really good bad guy.
Well, you know what? I mean, from those bullet points, what you've ran down there, I mean, I know there's not going to be a demo for this game, but I mean, I might give this a rent.
I think this is supposed to be out for 360. We got a 360 in the other room, and I got a feeling that this is going to look, you know, whether it be all these features aren't available in multiplayer or not, I think this would be kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, in the campaign, because if I do play Call of Duty, which I have in the past, I think it was Modern Warfare.
Modern Warfare, right.
Right, I've played that one, and I just pretty much stick with the campaign, and you know the campaigns, I know they're not very long, about 5 or 6 hours, so that's I think that's my fill,
right,
on it. And I might give it a rent. It sounds pretty cool, you know, from what the bullet point has been saying, especially those hover bikes.
Yeah,
sounds cool.
It does. I mean, and this is coming off the IGN website. You know, I just took the bullet points and we threw them down for discussion. I wasn't even aware that Modern Warfare was, or I'm sorry, Advanced Warfare was supposed to be released this year. This was actually something that Sam turned me on to, and I would have liked to have been able to get his opinion on these, but technology didn't work with us.
I wish we had an expert because I'm really not an expert at these games.
I would love to be able to bring this up again, probably in a show or two. Next time I can get Pook and Joe on and stuff like that, maybe even PK. Some of these guys are in the FPS genre. And discuss with them, you know, what they think these changes are going to lead to. I mean, you know, because this is, if you think about it, Call of Duty revolutionized the first-person genre. Well, Halo revolutionized the first-person genre. And then Call of Duty...
I think Pook would disagree and say Doom, but I mean, that's Pook.
Really?
I think Doom was a bit of a staple. Oh, no, actually, Unreal Tournament, I think that was a big staple.
Well, I've always said, and I'll continue to say it, just because the words come out of my mouth don't necessarily mean it's right. Okay? I am open to anybody's opinion on this. But, you know, Call of Duty changed it around. I mean, it gave it a realistic feel. It gave it that first-person military sim feel, you know.
Yeah.
And it just gave it a change and a difference and a better feel to it. And overall, it made it cool. It brightened things up because you had outdoor scenarios that you were in. You know, where when the first-person genres came around, like, well, you mentioned Doom. Pook swears by that. You know how a lot of it was underground, a lot of it was dark, a lot of it was just menacing. Yeah. You know, this was outside. It was like urban, you know, urban warfare. It was suburbia, various things of that nature. You know, and it just...
And I know a lot of our guys and girls in the military, you know, over here in the States and everywhere else. And God damn it, thanks for putting your lives on the line.
Thanks for putting your balls on the line for
us.
Yeah,
something, you know, something that I wouldn't do. But yeah, I know a lot of the military folks love Call of Duty too.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's... I don't know, introducing some of these concepts. I mean, Call of Duty has a great realism effect to it. Yeah, you know, there's a great reality to it. So you start adding some of these extra things like the exosuit and wall climbing. And I mean, all these additions, with the exception of the deployable cover, okay? Yeah. All these things are... And the drones, the unmanned drones, all these things are pretty sci-fi. So yeah. At that point, are you removing the reality from the game? And yes, I'm going to question the physics of a video game, which is set in make believe. Okay,
well, yeah, because I think, you know, and I'm going to jump in. I played Halo 3 because I own it. I do actually own it on disc. I always felt with Halo 3, and that, now, by the way, that's the only one I've played, felt with Halo 3 that it wasn't realistic enough. The guns never felt like real guns.
Right.
But I get the appeal of why it appeals to people. When I played Modern Warfare, I felt, you know, it was more realistic, and the graphics are obviously they look more realistic, and it actually looks, when you fire a gun, it feels like a gun.
Right.
On Halo, it's different.
So, yeah.
Out of the two, though, I mean, I did prefer Modern Warfare. You know, just because of the realism. Not that I'm going to go out and shoot a real gun or anything.
Sure, sure.
But it just felt more realistic to me. And yeah, the storyline was a bit cheesy, but I think you get that with any first-person shooter.
I was going to say, unless you're doing the real thing, you're going to wind up with some type of cheese factor somewhere.
Because it's just a story. Yeah, they overblow it. And especially, they want to make it look like... Don't forget, these games are getting like movies now.
Oh, yeah.
They want to overblow it, so...
Sure, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to definitely... you know, give it a rent, because these games never, you know, these COD games never go down in price. So I think a rent for me.
I have a feeling this is going to be on my son's radar. Now, as I said, I'm the guy that actually does. I'm an avid paintballer, and I would much as soon go chasing somebody down in real life with paint and a gun versus, you know, chase them down on a screen, a video screen, stuff like that. So, but I definitely have a feeling this is going to be on my son's radar, because he really likes playing Black Ops 2.
So for you, it's going to be a 360 purchase.
Probably be a 360 rental for my son.
Oh, a rental, okay.
Yeah, well, we've got a 360. We got a 360. So,
Try it out first.
It's one of those things. I'll definitely say I want to rent it before I actually go buy it to make sure.
Because 60 is a lot. Yeah, 60 is a big investment.
You're talking a chunk of change, man. It's like a tank of gas.
Yeah, exactly.
at our prices of petrol right now. So you know, it's by the time I get this edited with the content from last night that I picked up from Sam and what we've gone over today and get the pre-show edited down and everything like that, it's definitely going to be a long show. It's going to be a good 2-hour show. Obi, as always, sir, thank you very much for joining me tonight, Game Face, cutting into your sleep time. I know it's getting to be the wee hours of...
it's all good. It's all good. You know what, though, I'm always up anyway at this time because... Okay. I always listen to a little show called, well, a couple of shows, Bobby Blackwolf and then Orange Lounge. I always finish up listening to those. Always end up falling asleep on Orange Lounge, but, you know, and that's a good segue for my plugs, actually.
There you go. Fire away, sir.
Yeah, the old VOG network and where you can listen to those shows. And they do have a raffle this month. You can actually win, a prize, a physical prize this month. Only open to the States, unfortunately, but yeah, they're giving away a set of DVDs for every point that you get on the website, and I believe on the leaderboard I'm about third, so, and I'm not going to be eligible for the DVDs, but it's always fun to kind of, you know, post comments and check into shows and all that business, and I love this website. I know I talk about it every week, but I really honestly do like it. Other plugs, pretty much just Obi-Wan Jabroni on Twitter if you want to talk about shit.
There you go. Obi-Wan Jabroni. that's with an E, not an I.
Yeah, because you're almost taken. And obviously, I do a couple of other shows myself with my, we're the host of Poop Ninja, and you can find that on poopninja.podomatic.com and his YouTube channel. And you should check it out, by the way, because he does a lot of retro stuff. And you see, if you're into retro, it's Pook Ninja Free on YouTube.
There you go. And apologies that Pook Ninja couldn't be here today. He had some technical issues of his own that weren't able to get satisfied within the time allotted. But despite technical issues and various other things of that nature, I was able to get the show produced and taken care of. Many thanks to Obi-Wan Jabroni for popping in and showing up with me, cutting into his sleep again. Many thanks to my buddy Sam up north for hanging out with me despite technical issues. And as always, I am your host right here, the Gamer Podcast that's designed by gamers for gamers. This is Game Face, hosted right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Make sure you're checking out all of our shows. If you like MMA, check out the Split Decision. If you like WWE and TNA, check out the Spanish Announce Table. If you like Box Office, check out Old School at the Movies. If you like retro stuff, check out the Wayback Throwback. If you like mobile tech, check out Trending Mobile Technology. Just check in every day. I know I sound like I've been really trolly today, and I do apologize, but just check in every day because you never know what's going to be trending next. We are giving you the other side of the gaming console. I'm Piper the DJ. Good night.